Listening to the Talk Spirit Anime Cast. My name is Andrew, and I'm joined here with Chris.
Yo!
Today's episode is a discussional podcast episode. We talk about the news that seems important to us, dive into our community, answer some great questions from our community members, and then say goodbye to everybody. So how things are going, Chris? How things are going? That sounds interesting.
Doing pretty good. How about you?
It's okay. Nothing to report at all, except for the fact that we just got done reporting a very long Fairy Cast episode, which ended up eating into our time for this.
Yes.
So there is a give and take there. So sorry to anybody that doesn't care about Fairy Casts, but look forward to something for those that do listen to our Fairy Cast. But yes, it'll kind of strain time for this. So nothing crazy to talk about besides that. So I guess we can just dive into it unless you have anything to cover beforehand.
Not that I know of.
Okay, there you go. Nothing to discuss except for Pokemon. I guess.
I haven't been able to play it lately.
I haven't been able to play for like a week and a half, but I got like all the gems done, and then I was going, I'm like, cool, I'm beating the game, and then it's like, oh, now I gotta go to the championship. I'm like, oh, there's a championship after this, so I guess I'm not done with the game yet.
Well, I'm pretty much where you last seen me, so.
I got way absorbed into it for a while there, though. Like, I was really diving into it and got all the gems done. Like I said, then things started taking over, and work and stuff like that, so it kind of drew me away from it.
I got back in there. Got my Gardevoir to where she's a solid special attacker right now. Yeah, so yeah.
I messed up all my other ones by raising up her special attack Eevee and then mess up a couple of my other guys' Eevee. So I didn't know there was a cap to it. So
that's one thing that I will say that I don't think I particularly like about this. I can see
that
why
too
it would
easy.
Be, no, well.
There's so much quality of life in it that I've heard that's been improved. And I'm like, I can see it.
And that's the thing is in some ways I like it. And in some ways I don't is the fact that literally everybody in my team is getting the IV training that whatever I'm doing on my main character is doing.
Right, my main
Pokemon. The problem is that not all of those Pokemon that are in my team need special attack.
Right. And that was a problem that I had with my, bunny, I forget the name of it, the bunny Pokemon, my starter, is I didn't know that I thought that his attacks were special. And then, like I said, I asked you, like, well, what's special and what's not? And then I look at my list, and I'm like, he has literally one special, and it's his Ember attack. The rest of it, like, the one that's, like, super OP, which is where he kicks the rock and then knocks in the... It's attack-based.
Oh, gosh.
So I just maxed out that thing. Of course, he had a huge spread of stuff. Because I've been using them for so long. And that's the frustrating thing. It's like, it's a pain in the butt to undo the EVs so that you can train it somewhere else.
Until you get to the end of the game, in which it doesn't really matter anymore.
It's easier to get the berries or something like that in the end game?
Probably. You could probably buy them.
I know you can buy the boosts, but not. I didn't know you can buy the berries that take it away.
Well, I would assume
I just gotta sit there
every
and farm
you can buy everything.
Berries.
So
there's a frustration. Is undoing the EVs is the annoying thing. It's easy to raise the EVs. It's a pain in the butt to undo the EVs.
Yeah. So. Berries were always easy to get in the previous game, so I can't see them being hard to get in this
They one. Point out, like, three places you can go, and it has to be, like, a certain weather. And I ran around, I got one in, like, the 10 or 15 minutes that I was trying to find something. And that's like 10 EV, and he's literally built into EV probably 200, I would say. So I just got to get another 20.
Did you unlock fog yet?
Huh?
Did you unlock the fog yet?
No, that's... I think you have to beat the game.
All right.
So, well, yeah, I think you have to beat the game to get the fog, because I kept changing the time, and I got no fog anywhere on the map. I think that's... But you can also change the time to be specific times to make the fog appear once you beat the game.
Yeah.
But you have to beat the game first. So, yeah, I'll probably get back in that eventually. Like I said, I have another work trip, and then I have a vacation trip that I have planned, so I really don't have many gaps in there besides watching anime and getting caught up in anime, so I don't know when I get
back into that. That's really what I've been kind of focusing on the last week, was trying to catch up on some shows that I meant to watch. So
that's the frustrating thing, is that we probably won't be able to get into our reviews until after the New Year's, and so we're going to be a little bit late on reviews than usual. But I think there's some shows that are going to be a little bit late ending anyways, but there's some that are probably going to be ending here in the next 2 weeks. So it's going to be weird. I know that we're planning on doing our preview recording next week, the end of next week, along with something else. So we still have things planned to release to you guys over the next couple weeks. And then after that, it's going to be, like I said, probably doing some sprinkles of some singles, or maybe just having a gap in there. It's one of those things where things are so crazy right now, I am willing to maybe let one weekend go, even though we've always been about every single weekend having something for you guys. There will be something, no doubt, just it might not be like a full, long podcast in the end. So, but we'll see. We'll see what time gives us for everything. So let's just give you an idea of what's coming up. So yeah, let's get into the news. That seems important to us, so it should be important to you because it's important to us. Our first one's a binger. A big bang one. Basically a Senate of a Bookworm gets a second core, and it's going to be releasing in spring 2020. Now, this has been pretty much, besides Babylon, for me, kind of fighting right now. Ascendant of Bookworm has been no doubt the gem of the season.
I'm going to tentatively say I agree.
Tentatively? Like, yes. You're still deciding?
Because I don't know if there's something else that I'm forgetting about.
Okay. It's just been an absolute treat.
This has absolutely been, I agree, a complete treat. So
if you're not watching this, you need to be watching this. I mean, it's really hard to really place, but I think we mentioned the fact that in our first impressions that every single episode we watch, it's like I get trapped in this world. It's very slow paced, but I just get absorbed into the world. I get absorbed in the character. I just want to see this girl succeed. The emotion that it portrays, her struggles, everything is just top notch. I absolutely just am in love with it. I want to see her get to a success. I didn't actually think from the very beginning that this devouring would be such a huge, crucial part of it. And they're really bringing it to the forefront. And so it really has me intrigued as to how that's really going to affect her going forward. But the struggle that we had was like, she's literally not going to make a book by the end of this. It's like I said, because it's going so slow. And so the sad thing was this dire thought that this is going to be one of those ones where it's going to end this core and we're going to get nothing else. And then this news comes out and I'm like, yes, yes.
It's definitely a show that I wholeheartedly place my stamp on. It deserves all the parts that it can give us.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But yes, what's the deal is that, and I totally skipped the first thing. I didn't realize it. I'll get back to it after this. So the finale for this core is going to have two episodes that will both air on December 25th. So episode 13 and 14th will be released on December 24th or 25th. I'm not sure if that means that we're getting a gap. I think we still have episodes every week until then. Let me double check. Shows, but mine is absolutely adorable. And it's funny because there's certain aspects that they were kind of hinting at for the last four or so episodes of something kind of coming to a head. And I was telling Chris when it happened, I'm like, I'm very happy with how they handled that. There was certain kind of conflicts that were created between certain characters that when they finally came to a head, the way they kind of took care of it was Like, I was like, that's perfect. I couldn't see that being handled any better than that. So we're on episode 10 right now. It releases on Wednesdays. So this is 11, 12, 13. So yeah, we won't have any gaps. So 11 will release on the 11th. 12 will release on the 18th. And then both 13 and 14 will release on the 25th. So no gaps, double episode. Awesome. And then, like I said, in spring 2020, we'll get a continuation. So,
and I fully expect that I'm going to get wrecked in one of those episodes.
It's kind of at a point now where this is going to go several different ways. And so I hope it goes in a good way. For those that don't know what it's about, it's basically a girl that dies in the real world and she gets isekai'd to another world. But it's not like one of those travels and becomes super magician and take on the world. She gets transported into the young body of a girl named Mine. And this girl was very frail, very weak, and gets sick a lot. And so when she gets transported there, she starts to remember. She gets actually all the memories of Mine, who was the girl that she took over her body. And then come to find out that she, like I said, is very frail. She's very young. Her past self was like a bookworm. She kind of hid herself away and just did nothing but read books. And so she wants books in this new world, but the world she's in is very impoverished. She has no money. Her family's very poor. Books are only for like the wealthy. And so she's really trying to find a way of creating books to write stories in and just have books. And so she's kind of going through this whole process of doing that. So it's really, really good. Really good show. So yeah. The news that I totally skipped was that we are being represented once again in the Crunchyroll Anime Awards. I mentioned it in our last podcast recording, but it kind of got stuck in with a... I misspoke something, and I didn't want to let that remain in it. I was kind of telling about something that happened, and I misput the order in it. So I kind of just deleted it out of there, and I was like, I'll just mention it in the discussion podcast. So yes, we are going to be in the 2019 Anime Awards as myself. We will be a part of it once again, which Woo-hoo! Is pretty cool. So cool stuff. There's some things about it that have changed from the previous year that I'm excited to talk about, but I'm not going to mention it because I don't know what all I can say. So I will keep it to myself and just say that there has been some changes that I am very happy about. So look forward to it. And as usual, my whole point to wanting to be a part of the Anime Awards, one, to get our name out there, but also because I do like the idea of being a part of something that celebrates anime. And anyway, any way that it can do that is always fantastic. So look forward to the next Crunchyroll Anime Awards, as I will be a judge in it once again. So yay.
Yes.
All right. Let's move on to the next bit of news, which we have is, we kind of mentioned this in our previous podcast discussional, that Kakushi Goto is getting an anime adaptation. But the thing that we were kind of discussing was, is Shaft going to do it? Because Shaft did a promo anime clip or PV of it, of the manga, a while back. And it's the same creator as the guy that did Zetsubou Sensei.
Yeah.
So we're like thinking, okay, Zetsubou Sensei was Shaft as well. Shaft helped them do a PV. So surely Shaft will do this new adaptation, right? No, it's not. Apparently, Aja Do will be doing the animation for this particular series, which, like I said, is kind of a bummer because I was really expecting it to be Shaft, and I definitely think, based on the fact of Zetsubou Sensei being an awesome show, that it would be a perfect fit as well in Familiar, but unfortunately, a different studio will be doing it. Hopefully, doing an awesome job on it. I don't think that Aja Do is a bad studio in any way, but we will see if they can pull off a cool series from it. So they have received a April 2020 premiere. So it will be spring of 2020. So look forward to that popping up. There is a very, very short PV out there that you can check out to get a very brief look at their animation. And it looks good.
Looks good.
We'll see. For those that don't know, it's an anime about a mangaka that is trying to keep it a secret from his daughter. So there you go. Check that out if you are a fan of Zetsubou Sensei, I guess. moving on, we have Crunchyroll has finalized their deal to become a majority owner of Viz Media European Group, or Europe Group. I think you've mentioned this before. You were talking about that was like a big deal that they took Viz Media and
Yeah, finally. To me, mostly I would have probably just said that I think that this is
I think he said a bold move or something like that.
Yeah, Crunchyroll making a bold move in this aspect, and the fact that really what they're doing is they're basically setting down the stakes and saying we are here and we need to build up our strength and become a mainstay in this industry, and that's really what I see here.
Yeah, Funimation has made some moves in Europe as well, and I had my frustrations there because I've heard from a lot of people in those areas that there's not a very good availability of anime, and that a big part of that was Crunchyroll grabbing licenses and not using them. And there's always those cross licenses for multiple regions that they grab but they don't use. And so I'm hoping this, along with what Funimation is doing, is creating some kind of availability there that wasn't there before. So if that's the case, then that's awesome, and I hope to see more of it. If it's not the case, then this is all for naught, I guess. yeah, that is going on.
Well, at some point, you have one company who's in control of everything involved in manga and everything involved in anime. So it's just there's no getting around that. And if they can really hurt themselves or really they'll flourish beyond measure with this.
Well, that's beyond just manga for Viz Media as well. So
yeah, Viz Media does cover a lot of different bases, but they're mostly known for manga and light novels. Well, not so much light novels, more just manga.
And Kirito definitely known for that. All right, I got a few exciting news for some returning stuff and some other stuff that's gotten some confirmations on dates. First one is a exciting one for us. We did enjoy Sugumomo. Well, apparently Sugumomo is getting its second season. Well, we knew that they were getting a second season. We just didn't know when. But we now do have a date of, or not a date, but an area of April. So it will be in spring of 2020. It's going to be titled Sugumomo. So for those who don't know what that one's about, it's basically a guy that has a cloth that has a spirit that has become a spirit, and lots of ecchi shenanigans happen. It's a very ecchi focused show, but it does have like a slight element of yokai and using special powers from these cloths and stuff like that. So kind of goes back and forth between ecchi and that. So, and a very perverted spirit. They get in some very bold situations that you don't normally see in anime. So it was a lot of fun. I was very impressed by it. It was kind of rough around the edges early on, but it kind of got pretty solid towards later parts. So he had some pretty awesome animation moments in it as well, which are kind of surprising for ecchi comedy action shows like that. So,
but it's a fun show. It really is. It's just goofy, ecchi fun.
Very ecchi. Just want to point that out for those that don't like ecchi.
If you haven't caught this, it's kind of ecchi.
It's a little bit ecchi. The other cool one is that the Isekai Quartet second season got its announcement date, which is going to be January 14th of 2020. So we'll see its epic return. We had a few announcements for some other titles that are going to be a part of it. What were those? I forget. I've already forgotten who it was that was.
Shield Hero is definitely going to be in there.
Yeah, Shield Hero. I think that was the one they announced. So, yeah. Cool stuff. I'm surprised they didn't put Shield Hero in the key art for it. They've announced it already. I've seen their artwork for it, but they're not in the actual key art for the second season. So, maybe they're holding off on revealing them in actuality. I don't know. Interspecies Reviewers. We've talked about this one before. It has its reveal date as being January 11th. So, another winter release title. They have a little PV out there you can check out to kind of get an idea of its art style and stuff. I'm guessing the...
It was so funny. I was coming across this article, and it said, this down here may not be suitable for work. And I clicked on it, and I'm like, you just made me want to see it now.
Pervert. But no, the PV for it kind of makes it out like these two soldiers, like, save this angel-looking girl, and she kind of follows them, and they go off to go to some
red light district
shop and hang out with a bunch of sexy demons and stuff like that. And she's all upset about it. I guess probably shattered her ideals of these two guys being, you know, chivalrous heroes of hers.
Yeah.
She comes out of there and her little halo's on fire.
It's so funny. I absolutely love her artwork. What it is about her artwork, I don't know, but I just love it.
There you go. Love that artwork. So there, that's coming right around the corner. So I guess we'll talk about that a little bit when we record our review next week. So let's see here. The other one, Glipner, which we talked about also as well a while back. It's like this guy that's like a weird outfit, and the girl like goes inside the outfit and controls him or something like that. It's really weird. Kaguya, an ordinary high school kid, is in a boring little town. But when a beautiful classmate is caught in a warehouse fire, he discovers a mysterious power. He can transform into a furry dog with an oversized revolver and a zipper down his back. He saves the girl's life, sharing his secret with her, but she's searching for a little sister who killed her family, and she does not care how degrading it gets. She will use Shinichi to accomplish this. And what little bit of the manga I kind of flipped through, it's pretty dark, so keep that in mind.
Oh, was it? This one sounded so goofy and fun, and that you just killed it.
It's revenge stuff, so that's pretty much what it's going for, I think. But it's titled on here as a romantic comedy, so I'm not sure exactly. If maybe I read the wrong thing. I didn't know that it'd be a romantic comedy, so maybe I read the wrong thing. I don't know. We'll see. Somebody can tell me I'm wrong in our comments, I'm sure. Let's see here. Two-Year Turning, for those that are watching, so I'm going to find it eventually. I'll figure the words out eventually. Who is reading Two-Year Eternity, which for those who know, Two-Year Eternity is from the same writer that did A Silent Voice. I, for one, am way behind on it. It kind of got a little bit, I don't know, spinning its wheels at some point, and I kind of dropped away from it. I did want to get back to it. But for those that are still caught up on it, they know that this current first arc is ending, and they have announced that they are going to begin the second arc in January. So January 22nd, for sure. I think that's one of those ones that's getting pretty quickly simul-published, so I'm sure there's no real gap there, so you can keep reading on into the second arc. Hopefully it's got a solid... If somebody's reading it, please let me know on Twitter or whatever how you're liking how the current arc is ending, because, like I said, I got to the prison point, and they were just concluding the prison stuff, and, like I said, I kind of was dropping away from it, so let me know if it gets better after that point. So, yeah. Fans of Atelier know that they're releasing a Dusk Trilogy Deluxe Pack. Well, they've released a second English promo for it, and they are confirming that the release in the West is going to be on January 14th. I wanted to bring this up because I wanted to mention the fact that I noticed on Play Asia, they have been advertising that there is a physical version of Dusk Deluxe Pack that will have English subtitles. So there is an English option there on the Asian version of it. It is $89.99, so it's a little expensive, but keep in mind, it does have the entire trilogy. So you have Atelier Aisha, Atelier Eshka and Loji, and Atelier Shelley. So, cool little package there.
I think that's going to be my Christmas gift for myself this year. I'm going to get myself both of them.
The digital ones?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Because it's I've been wanting to get them for so long, and it's just one of those that's like, I look at that price tag and I'm like, but I know it's all three of them, but it's still a lot of money, but I do want all the Altelias. And yeah, like there's a few other ones in there too.
Yeah, they have a lot of sales on it. With this one, it's full price for the physical version, but you're technically, like I said, you're looking at $30 an entire game, which is technically good, but you're getting it one bang, so that is the difficulty there. No, I was upset because I don't think that they even did an Asian release of the previous Atelier Deluxe Pack. So when I seen this one, I was like, really cool. I would like to get that. So I think I will import it because knowing that they didn't do the other deluxe pack English in the West physically, I know they won't do this one either. So I don't know. I need to look, see if maybe I missed the Asian release of the deluxe pack with the first set or something like that. So I like to pick this up. Odd little kind of addition to this. I absolutely love the opening to... Was it the Shelley? Was actually really... Because this is Shelley, right? These two? I remember correctly. Because this is Eshka and Logi. I think this is Aisha. And then I think this is Shelly. The two Shellys.
Probably.
But that intro is absolutely fantastic. I every, like, once a month, I'll just, like, remember it and then go listen to it because it's an epic intro. Just absolutely beautiful. So, moving on, we have Key has hinted some new projects for the 21st anniversary. They released a visual that shows quite a few things in there. To note, we have on there is Planetarium Snow Globe, which, of course, is the crowdfunding thing they did for the OVA for the Snow Globe story of Planetarium. They also have on there Kudwafter, which is the other kind of spit-off visual novel that they're doing for Kudwafter from the Little Buster series. Angel Bees. Little Buster series. And that's pretty much all they have that's very clear. There is one that says coming soon, which obviously looks like the visual for June Maida's new project, which we'll talk about in a minute. There was two white white backgrounds with keys in them, or keyholes, a black background with a keyhole. So those three have absolutely nothing shown on them. But then there's one last panel that says visual novel new project. So we have no clue on it, but we do know that a new visual novel will be coming out on top of, like I said, the June Maida thing that we'll talk about in a minute. So cool stuff there. Looks like they have a lot of projects coming up, and it's been some time. I think they've been relying a lot on re-releasing and doing new visual novel based off project they've already done before. So it's cool to see them kind of hopefully making a bigger comeback, coming back into either visual novels or anime in general. So cool stuff.
Yes, anything Key is pretty much happy for me.
Happy for him, even though Planetarium made you cry.
Yes, it did.
I think they all
pretty much all, they're all of them making, made me cry.
Yeah, let me correct that. They're all pretty tragic in their own ways. So yeah, like I mentioned, one of those particular coming soons definitely had a background that is familiar, which is this other announcement by June Maida and Visual Arts and Key, which is a new game that is going to be called Heaven Burns Red, and this one is going to be launching on iOS and Android in 2020. Of course, June Maida's previous works have been on Canon, Air, Clannad, and Angel Beats, and this is, of course, going to be their first new game in about 13 years, so exciting stuff for them. Hopefully it's not an actual smartphone game. No, it says it's a role-playing game. Okay, I thought it was going to be like a visual novel, kind of like the Planetarium on the smartphones and stuff like that. So I don't know. We'll see. We'll see what they do with it. Can you imagine Tragic Girlfriend smartphone game with a gacha system where you roll for tragic girlfriends and they die 2 minutes later?
Why did you even imply gacha in a...
Because it's a smartphone game that's not just a regular visual novel. It's going to have a gacha system in it.
I'm about to run away right now.
None of them, nothing.
I'm running away.
Nothing on iOS and Android is going to have gotcha in it.
No.
If it's from Japan, especially. Can you imagine that?
No, I don't know. I'm going to leave.
You rolled.
You're
going to
be doing this podcast by yourself in about 2 seconds.
You like waste like $100 in gotcha money. And
no,
then,
no.
And then she like dies 2 minutes later. Like you get her story and she dies.
Stop.
That is a key gotcha game right there. All right, let's see here. The Japanese Fair Trade Commission has announced that it has concluded talent agencies' contracts cannot prohibit former clients performing for a set period of time based on their contract's expirations, as they are a violation of Japan's Antitrust Act. I didn't even know this was a thing. I mean, I know of contracts, even in the West, that they can force somebody from being able to work in the same industries if they quit and go somewhere else. But they usually don't apply to expirations of actual contracts. Like, you can have a contract that says, okay, well, if you stop working for us, you can't just jump over to a competitor and start working for them for a certain period of time. I understand that anti-competition aspect of contracts, but nothing based on, well, you're going to contract with us for 2 years. And then once that contract's up, you can't work in this industry for 5 years or something like that. That sounds like they mentioned is an abuse of power. So I did, like I said, I didn't know that was a thing. I wonder if that's an aspect that. Here's my weird theory. Is this a thing that I just not been aware of that is the sole reason why maybe some voice actors and actresses, seiyus, possibly stay within a certain talent agency for longer than they really want to just because they can't go to another competition talent agency?
Yeah, that's what it sounds
this,
like to me.
Will this cause like a lot of people to start shifting around?
Possibly.
I'm curious. But it, like I said, it does kind of specifically say based on expiration. I'm not sure if it really means like if you just break the contract to move. But very interesting. Like I said, I didn't know this was a thing. So it's not something I will probably be aware of going forward. It
probably is also the reason why a lot of them end up killing themselves.
Yeah. Like I said,
I mean that figuratively, not
like working himself to death.
Yeah, working themselves to death.
Yeah. Could be. Just not wanting to upset their superiors that have some control over them. Who knows? I know you're excited about this, Chris. I want you to chill yourself out for a second. Wasteful Days of I knew I was going to say High Score Girls. Mm-hmm. I have a High Score Girl on the mind. I want to watch Wasteful Days of High School Girls. Manga is getting a live action TV series, like a full on series that's going to be premiering in January. Are you excited?
I can't say I am.
I kind of want to see the Chunin girl.
I was fine.
I kind of want to see the Chunin girl in this live action.
Kind of fine with it as an anime. Not so sure I want to see it as a live action.
Yeah, this is like, I know that everything pretty much is live actions and gets live actions and gets stage plays and everything, because that's where a lot of the money is, to kind of be a multimedia project with everything. But this is like the last one I can think of that I'm like, that'd be great as a live action. But hey, if they can get silly enough of girls to do it, then they'll probably
They
work
did
out.
All right with the prison school. I mean,
you watched that one?
A little bit of it.
A little bit of it. He just wanted to see the crazy Medusa chick, huh? See how they handled her. That was the only curiosity I can think of, because I think I looked for clips of that. And yeah, it was. I didn't really look into any of the rest of it because I really had no desire whatsoever to check anything else of that one out. But that was a thing. I think Funimation released that one, didn't they? I don't think they released the live action.
Yes, they did.
There you go. Let's see. I was so excited when I seen this title and I read the rest of the title. It says Tokyo Mew Mew gets a new manga with male lead characters. Like my when I'm scrolling through the list of news, my
No, you know what? I just want to digest that for a minute.
So I'm scrolling through the news and my eyes like sees Tokyo Mew Mew and it just like locks on like excitement just hits me immediately because I loved Tokyo Mew Mew back in the day. And so when I clicked on it, I didn't even look at the rest of the title. I just seen Tokyo Mew Mew and clicked. And then these guys come up on the screen and I said, what am I reading? And I start reading again and I go, male lead character. Like, dang it! Why? Why? So yeah, the manga is returning and it's going to be with male lead characters. It was announced in Kodansha's Nakayoshi magazine. It's announcing that the franchise is returning by Madoka. The series was Madoka Suzuki. It's going to be called Tokyo Mew Mew Ore. The new Tokyo Mew Mew manga will focus on male characters instead of the female characters of the previous manga and anime. The manga will launch with a 62-page opening chapter, including color opening pages. So, I'm happy for those that wanted a Tokyo Mew Mew with guys. So there you go. Enjoy it. I will keep walking. All right. So let's move on to some positive news again. We'll bring Andrew's spirits back up. So, Shoga Kukan's weekly Shonen Suda Sunday magazine, asked fans to look forward to a new story by Hiromu Arakawa. And for those who don't know who Arakawa is, Arakawa was the one that created Full Metal Alchemist and Silver Spoon, which I did not know that. I knew that they made Full Metal Alchemist. I didn't know that the same person that made Full Metal Alchemist made Silver Spoon.
I'm actually very surprised you did not know that.
Why?
I'm almost positive we've talked about it at some
point. I probably would have watched Silver Spoon.
I'm almost positive we talked about it at some point.
I don't know. I think you're crazy. But yes, also on the same one, they published the final chapter of Silver Spoon. So apparently that has come to a conclusion. I wasn't keeping up on that, so I was not aware of that. But hopefully that had a conclusion that everybody was looking forward to. Or if you have not seen it yet, avoid all spoilers. So yeah, that's exciting to see what her next project will be. Look forward to that in the future, I guess. So cool stuff. Hopefully Silver Spoon will get a continuation in its anime so they can complete it. That would be cool, right?
Yes.
There you go.
I love Silver Spoon. I'm unhappy to see it go away, but at the same time, if she has a new story that she wants to get out of her, by all means. I've loved a lot of what she's done so far.
Did you ever get into the manga of Silver Spoon? Or did they ever bring it over here?
No, not. It is here, but it's not.
Yeah, you impressed?
Yeah.
It's not.
Wasn't fiscally viable.
It wasn't physical. I'm like, you care about physical? I thought you were going to say physical. All right. Funimation. They are very excited. I got like 5 emails. Of course, I think I have them for some reason on multiple emails, and I don't know why I need to unsubscribe to one of them. But that's a lot of my subscriptions are on multiple things for multiple emails. But anyways, Funimation is very excited to tell everybody that they've gotten new series, including Puella Magi Madoka Magica, Today's Menu for the Emiya Family, and Silver Spoon. We just talked about them a minute ago, as well as Grand Blue Fantasy Season 1, which is essentially all Aniplex titles, which is not a shock to anybody who has been keeping up with the news or have been listening to us for a while. I'm surprised it took them this long is honestly the response. I don't know if it's just the fact they've had those recent changeovers of leadership. Maybe they're putting in new initiatives. And we do know that they currently have like a 5-week exclusivity on new episodes of the new Fate Grand Order Babylonia series. So this looks like another initiative to start getting more of these Aniplex titles specifically on their channels, which is interesting because Aniplex has been always really good about kind of getting their stuff on all platforms. They're pretty, open to like Hulu and Crunchyroll. I'm surprised this stuff was not on Funimation to begin with, but a lot of this stuff could be mainly in the idea they wanted to keep it. Like Madoka Magic, I know was on Crunchyroll for a while. I'm not sure if it's still on there. But because I want to say that was something they maybe want to pull it off their platforms in order to focus on getting people to buy the manga, maybe. I think I watched Madoka Magic on Crunchyroll. Yeah, it's still there. That's odd that it was on Crunchyroll, but not on Funimation. Like, why did it take them that long? They even have the dub on here. Very, very odd. That's very odd. I don't know what that's about, but okay, that's a thing. So if you have a Funimation subscription, you've been looking forward to watching those and you didn't have any other places that had it, like Crunchyroll, it's had, I think it even has Silver Spoon still. It has Grand Blue. It has Today's Emiya Family. That's very weird. I don't know. Moving on, because that confuses me. Seven Seas has licensed Peter Grill and a Philosopher's Time manga, which is about, upon winning a fighting tournament and being crowned as the world's strongest warrior, Peter Grill, it's a very weird name for manga, discovers a downside to his newfound fame. Women of all species, from ogres to elf, are scrambling over each other for his seed to ensure that they have the strongest babies possible. I should have known this by the cover. Poor Peter just wants to settle down with his lovey-dovey fiance. That just makes it even worse. But he'll have to outmatch, outwit, and outrun a harem of very determined monster girls to do so. So I guess that makes, at least that gives a reason for the why the main character, like, avoids all advances. That he possibly has a very positive reason for doing so is that he has a fiance that he is devoted to. So, yes.
Poor him.
I was not even expecting.
Poor him.
This is the only license that I ran into looking through the news, and it happens to be quite an interesting one.
Poor him.
There you go.
I want to read this now.
Well, no. Like I said, it's honestly the first case where I don't, you know, jokingly say poor you. The guy literally has a reason why he needs to get the hell away from these girls. It's because he has a fiance. So, a lovey-dovey fiance at that. I wonder if she's going to get all, like, crazy yandere and kill anybody that gets near him.
Like, is she gonna be like
one of those very lovey-dovey, whenever she sees somebody coming, she, like, pulls out a hatchet?
No, I wonder if she's lovey-dovey because he's got the strongest seed as well.
No, I'm thinking that he was with her before he became the
I want to read this to find out. This is important information that we need to know.
We'll see. We'll see. The official website for the anime of Sanrio's character project, Show by Rock, has announced that they have a new Show by Rock series coming. It's going to be called Show by Rock Mashu Marishi. Or Marish. Mashu Mairesha. Mairesh. I don't know. Something like that. Mashu. There. Show by Rock Mashu. We'll just call it that going forward. Yes. A new series, which is
going to basically follow... You just want an excuse to call it Mashu.
To say Mashu's name, yes. Right. but no, that is the group. Is Mashu Maresh? Marish? Mashu Maresh, I guess is the way to say it. Mashu Maresh is the new band group from the Show by Rock world. So we were following that band in this particular new anime. They look adorable. It's going to be done by Kinemas Citrus, and it looks like they're doing a fantastic job on the animation so far. It will, as always, be very questionable. Oh, hey, they do have her in there. Okay. I'm trying to remember her name. What's the main character's name? It's been so long since I've watched Show by Rock, it's hard to remember the characters' names. Cyan. That was her name. Cyan. It's got Cyan in the trailer, so hopefully she makes an appearance. That's coming up. I didn't remember Mashu Maresh, so I kind of looked up to see if I could find the characters in the previous one. Apparently, they've never made an appearance, so apparently it's a full-on new band. So, cool stuff there. I know Chris found another article later on that was showing off one of the boy bands that will be in the series, right?
Yes, there's a boy band coming. There was the announcement for another season.
Dokkan Jo Finger. It's a boy band called Dokkan Jo Finger.
At least they're easier to pronounce.
Yeah, that is
not as cute, though.
They've never been cute. So yeah, they are using that goofy kind of CGI artwork for whenever they're doing their band stuff, which I love and hate thing. I wasn't a huge fan of the second season. I did love the first season. Like, I loved it so much. Didn't know that it already has a fourth season announced on top of its third season. Is the third season Mashu, or is it going to be a third season of the girls?
I'm thinking that's what's happening, and then there's the two new bands that are being announced at the same time.
Briefly, Sunday, the production on fourth anime season would be greenlit for Sanrio's characters, Show by Rock. According to report, franchise, the report no longer on the evidence.
Because I don't remember watching a third season. And that's the way they're sounding.
Right, they're saying the third season is in 2020. What I'm trying to figure out is...
And see, at Sunday,
the third season is Mashu Maresh. So, yeah. So, we had first season Show by Rock. We had second season Show by Rock. Third season will be Mashu Maresh. And then they're going to have a fourth season on top of that. So, yeah. That sucks. So, the third season will be this new band. It does look like Cyan's in the PV, so maybe they'll be in there. So now I'm curious as to if the fourth season will be
back
to Cyan and them, or...
They have to compete against Cyan, because Cyan's now the greatest band ever.
Well, the band's not called Cyan. It was called...
It's not.
Plasmagica, that's right.
Yeah.
So hopefully Plasmagica will be the focus in the fourth one. We'll go back to them. We'll see. So that's cool, I guess. Like I said, the characters look cute with the new band, so hopefully it'll be a fun little kind of refreshed for the franchise. Because like I said, I wasn't a huge fan of the second season. I've absolutely adored the first season. So maybe it's good to have a kind of change up. We'll see. We'll see. Let's see here. I skip forward. I skip way forward. Holy crap. That's right, because I was scrolling down for your stuff. The final Eureka 7 film is set to be delayed until 2021. This was announced on their official website. Of course, the title is the final film of the Eureka 7 High Evolution trilogy. They have stated no reason for the delay, but yeah, I've been completely like not even paying attention to anything of the Eureka 7 stuff because they were announcing all this crazy stuff, returns and the new movies and stuff like that, and I haven't seen a single bit of it. I think that's good though because I can hopefully wait until this is finally released and then jump into it. Because as we've noticed, watching movies that release over multiple years is difficult. I'm still noticing that with Fate and Heaven's Feel. It's like I'm going, crap, I forgot who died in the first movie or whatever. Which servants won, which ones didn't. We should have watched the first one again before watching the second one. I know for a fact when we watch the third one, I'm going to watch the first two first. Because I'm going to need a refresher after another year of waiting. So, yeah. All right. Excited about Eureka 7? How are you on Eureka 7? Did you watch the original
season? I don't think I've ever... I probably did watch it, but I don't remember.
Like, Mecha's on surfboards flying in the air. Anemone, who's best girl at the very end of it, being awesome.
I don't remember.
Oh, Anemone's best girl. It was so funny because I seem to remember that I wasn't like I liked a lot of the characters. Like, was it Bridget? I think her name was. I liked the cast. I didn't like the main character and the girl. So like my whole enjoyment of the entire series was everybody besides the main two. Like I said, I loved Anemone and her story and the guy that she was with. That was absolutely fantastic. Those were the highlights for me, which was really goofy. Very quickly, because I'm looking into nothing about this, but High Score Girl is apparently getting a spin-off manga that will follow Kaharu Hidaka, which, of course, is best girl, in my opinion, that will release in December. So I don't know anything about the synopsis. Thankfully, the article said don't scroll down, spoilers. So I'm sure there's something important there about it. So just know that it follows her. If you're a fan of High Score Girl, it's probably something you want to look into. Next, we have, for the sixth consecutive year in Japan, they have reported a record high, which this is, of course, reportings of 2018, which is said to be set at 2.18 trillion yen, which is a 0.9% increase from 2017. So they are basically continuously since, what, 2012? Seen increases. They had a slight dip in 2012 and 2011, but ever since then has seen like substantial increases since then, which is absolutely fantastic. So good on the anime industry continuing to see improvements. So cool stuff.
Yeah.
Cool stuff.
It's very exciting.
All right. More exciting is Fairytale RPG has gotten new character reveals as well as new trailers. They've been releasing a crap ton here in the last few weeks. Every time something pops up, I text Chris. Even if it's like late at night, I will text him and let him know what I found about Fairytale. The new trailer has revealed that there's 5 new characters that are going to be playable. We have, of course, Sharia, the Wind God Slayer, right?
Yes.
Her name? She's Wind God Slayer. Kagura, which is the girl that will never draw her blade until she meets Jalal. Ichia, which is the perfume guy that Andrew used to hate, that is kind of grown to like the guy, I guess. Sting, which is a third generation dragon slayer, and Rogue, who is the other third generation dragon slayer from the Grand Magic Battles. These are all characters pretty much that came to the forefront, except for Ichia, from the Grand Battles. So cool stuff.
So you're glad that we got this particular section of the show done so that this didn't spoil you.
Well, yeah, it was like we were, when they first announced the game, we just got done watching the Tenryu arc, and they were like, yeah, this game starts from the Tenryu arc. And I'm like, well, that's a good thing we've just finished that. I didn't know. I think it did mention that it went through the entire, I think the original announcements that they were gonna, the game was gonna go through the Grand Magic Battles. I don't think it said that it was going to go into the arcs after that. So I think I'm good now. Mm-hmm. I think I'm officially good. I'm guessing the whole
apparently
Dragon King thing will probably be the conclusion of the game, like the last big battle. So
you get an Atelier outfit for your...
Oh, Lucy in Atelier Thighs is what her name is. Ryza, yeah. Atelier Ryza, Thighsa. That's what I was trying to remember the name of it. Yeah, Lucy in Ryza's outfit. That's it's fitting. Very fitting. Very fitting. Yes, I will be getting the digital deluxe. It says costume set, great magic games, team costumes. So that's another one. I really did like the magic games costumes that they had, or the outfits. I kind of mentioned that when we were doing our fairy cast for it. Lacrima set. What would have been the Lacrima set? I guess just probably items.
Probably.
And then the deluxe digital packs limited costume, which is Ryza costume for Lucy. So yeah, I'll be getting that. When is it set? March? It's still March. Gosh dang, dude, it's too far away. Yeah, I think we mentioned our previous one. I was really happy to see that was more going to be stylized after the Atelier game. So it makes perfect sense why they have Atelier costumes in there, because it's that basically that team. So Cool stuff. I didn't get far enough into Ryza to really get an idea, because I jumped right into Pokemon and didn't really get a chance to get too far into it. So, there you go. Moving on, we have Assault Lily Bouquet to premiere in July of 2020. So this is going to be kind of a... Yeah, that would be fall, right? Yeah, fall. Yeesh, that's a fall show. Of course, that's going to be a Shaft anime. So... probably really excited about that one. I'm not sure if we got a synopsis before. It says, on Earth, in the near future, humanity faced imminent destruction from mysterious giants known as Huge. Yes, we did get the synopsis, because I joked about the fact that it was just called Huge, which is actually a good thing, because people should not waste time trying to figure out what they're going to call something that is ending the world. The entire world unites against the Huge and successfully develops weaponry known as Charm. By combining science and magic, Charm exhibits high rates of synchronization with teenage girls, as usual. And the girls who use charms are viewed as heroes called lilies. Throughout the world, garden military academies are established to train lilies to face off the Huge and to serve as bases to protect and guide people. I was kind of getting an idea of calling it gardens and stuff. I wonder if they got that from something like Final Fantasy VIII or something like that. Of course, gardens is kind of a thing they use a lot in Japan for facilities like that.
They need to call them gardens if they're raising lilies.
There you go. This is the story about fighting girls who aim to become lilies at one such garden. Very Madoka-ish looking. The art style definitely looks like Shinra Kagura, which I think we mentioned that before. I don't think I found that was the artist for Shinra Kagura, though, so not sure the connection there. Maybe a fan of his or artwork. But yeah, cool stuff. Look forward to that one. Definitely looking forward to that one. So there we go. Moving on, we have Sentai Filmworks has sent its final rounds of funds from the GoFundMe to Kyoto Animation. For those that are, you know, not in the know about this, of course, Sentai Filmworks had created a GoFundMe account immediately after the travesty that happened at Kyoto Animation's first studio, where a man set fire to the place and many lives were lost. Of course, the GoFundMe quickly reached over 2 million. At its final moments, it looks like it raised a total of $2.36 million, which, again, will be sent off to them on behalf of all those that funded it. So, awesome to hear about that. I think they also had another bit of news that they finally decided they are going to be demolishing the first studio, so... hopefully that will help them kind of move on and recover from it. So, cool stuff. I'm so mixed by this news. I'm happy, but I'm very mixed. Because everybody's probably heard me several times, you know, voice my frustration with the fact that the way they released both Makia and A Silent Voice, they released standard editions like a long time ago, and those were both movies that we wanted to watch like immediately when it released, so we bought the standard editions. But they were at the same time selling limited editions through Right Stuff that was producing limited editions that released like way later. We're talking like 9 months later. And so it kind of is that element of kind of forcing you that if you want to watch it now and you don't have it in theaters, you just buy it. And then you're like, but I really love it, so I want to buy the limited edition. So you have to double dip. Well, for those that waited to buy the limited editions, that bought the standard editions, 11 Arts is doing an awesome thing where you can actually go trade in your standard edition with Right Stuff Anime, and they will give you a $35 off on either Silent Voice or Makia, depending on which one you're trading in. So full details on that, I think they have it on Right Stuff's blog, or you can go to 11 Arts Twitter page and get the link straight to it. But they have like a breakdown on exactly how to handle that. So even though it's what I was really wanting, I'm happy it's available for all those that waited. I guess I can't complain too much because we ended up getting a limited edition from Right Stuff for Makia, even though I already bought it. So I ended up giving it away to somebody. So there you go. Cool stuff though, because that's they're normally $79.99, so getting $35 off is pretty much almost half off of the limited edition. They're really awesome sets. Makia's has that gorgeous artwork from the artist that did like Bravely Default, which is, I love it to death. And Silent Voice's artwork was fantastic on it too. Very kind of subtle, cool artwork. I love the chipboard boxes. There you go. All right, Chris, what do you have for news for us? Let me open these up. Well, we already did that one.
Yeah, there's three that Show one. By Rocks in there, so you can just.
There's three. All right. There we go. So Orisama, what we got?
Orisama is doing the theme song for a show called Zashiki Warashi. It's just we love
Tatami-chan.
Yeah, we love. Orisama, so any excuse to kind of point that out is, I figured we'd love to discuss.
Now, it looks like the series is done by the scripted by High School Girls, Rinsuke Oshikiri, so that might be a, we'll definitely check it out for the theme song, but it'll be cool to check that out just for that as well.
It looks kind of odd. I think that one of the
Horror gag comedy centers around the life of Tatami-chan, a sardonic ghost from Iwata Prefecture, who is now living in Tokyo amongst other spirits, supernatural entities, and humans. In addition to dealing with otherworldly matters, the unemployed Tatami-chan has to deal with job hunting as well as paying for gas, water, and electricity. So, very interesting. Looks like there's a yokai that's just a big foot that hangs out on the roof.
It's a weird artwork, but hey, it might work.
Yep. We'll see. We will see. We already did that one.
Three OADs for Reincarnated as a Slime. I thought that would be fun.
Yeah, hopefully Crunchyroll will pick those up.
I'm hoping so too.
I know we have Slime coming up here soon for the second season.
So they look great. Like they're slip-ins to mangas or something like that, so that kind of hurts. So if you're in that area and you got access to this, that's really cool.
Yeah, they're released with the 14th, 15th, and 16th volumes of the manga. Like I said, I hope that those will be ones that they'll pick up, because if the show's popular enough, Crunchyroll's pretty good about picking up things like that, especially if it's a series they're going to continue on streaming into this next seasons, which I'm pretty sure Crunchyroll will get the second season that's coming out next year. So hopefully they'll not have that gap there of stuff that we haven't seen. And then suddenly we're like, what the hell's happening right now?
And then I thought would be really kind of a cool something to toss out for everybody. One of our favorite voice actress / singers is Yui Hore. She's releasing all of her stuff to streaming. So yeah, that's all of her Miss Monochrome stuff, all of her personal songs. If you're kind of curious, we did a highlight on her. She did the Asymmetry from
K Return of Kings. She was that OP where the fire girl was kissing the marble.
Right. I'm trying to confirm here if this is Western. Official website for it has announced the songs for the 19 singles and 10 albums released in 2001 to 2019 are available on streaming services from today, December 6th, along with her songs and music videos from her original avatar, Miss Monochrome. While working, let's see here. It says her songs are now playable in Japan on Apple Music, Google Play Music, and all these other stuff, Spotify, Rakuten Music, Ota Pass. But those are Japanese ones. Miss Monochrome, Android, her first appearance, then 10 single sales, virtual two albums. Her songs and music videos are available on Apple Music, Google Play, blah, blah, Rakuten, Spotify. So it says available in Japan, so I don't know if this is a Western availability. So you might have to confirm that. Yui Horie on iTunes only has one album. Miss Monochrome, 2015. White Christmas, Colorful, Perfect Party, Star Night Blue. So that's a sucky bit of news. I'm sorry, Chris.
I was excited about
I'm sorry, Chris.
Hey, who knows? Maybe it's just a little bit delayed.
Well, I mean, I'm sure you could probably watch these YouTube. Watch it says region.
It took me forever to remember what that song, who that was. Guess
it's on YouTube. So there you go. Sorry, Chris. I've thoroughly burst your bubble. I just didn't want to. I wanted to make sure so people didn't think this. And I seen that Japan on Apple Music. So you can. I know it's on YouTube. They're literally right here shows it on YouTube. So you can at least listen to it on there. Maybe it might be on Google Play, but. This might all just be Japan stuff, so maybe eventually we'll get all their stuff on worldwide release. I'm sorry, Chris.
It's all right. I'm wrong a lot.
There you go.
Wait, right. Well, you can blame it on Crunchyroll. Crunchyroll made the announcement. All I did was found it.
If you read it, it literally said in Japan on Apple Music. Just had to read it.
I didn't get that far down, okay?
They said it.
I got excited about Yui Horie going on streaming, and that's all I seen.
Well, moving on, so we can get some of these questions done before we have to say goodbye to everybody. Again, we're going to jump into our community, answer some questions there. If you go to talkspirit.com, there's a forum up there. You can go and sign up, talk to some great people, leave questions there in the anime cast question thread. You can also send tweets, emails, contact us button at the top there. It's everywhere. You can contact us to send us questions. Like Blue Spark did, said, since you recently ran out of questions, I'll add my own, as well as revive an old format, which I know for a fact you guys love. Love-hate relationship there. Especially for Chris. This question pertains mostly to binge watching, which I know you don't do too much of, but hope you'll humor me. Say you've just finished an anime you enjoy, and now you have to decide which series to tackle next. Are you in the camp of people looking for more of the same, such as other animes with similar style and genres? Or do you prefer to mix it up and jump into a completely different genre afterwards? I mostly find myself going after different genres, jumping into funny to serious, from realistic to parallel worlds, supernatural. It's only in the rare cases that I want to continue to find a title of the same genre because I'm still in the mood for it. I would say, because, yeah, you definitely hit on the hill. It's not like I especially don't binge watch from one to another. I usually have a preset things like I need to really watch this and this and this and this. I don't really go, I feel like this. It's very rare that I have time that I can go, I need to binge a show. What do I feel like? Yeah, I do often go for like the feel of it. Like sometimes I've had cases where I'm like, I just want to watch something fun. I want to watch something I can turn, you know, stop thinking too much. Just watch something that's kind of just stupid fun. I've had a lot of cases like that. I would say if I can recall going from one to another with binging, I'll often be heavily influenced on either what's happening currently, what maybe that show left me feeling. Like if the show left me feeling pretty down, like it had a pretty sad ending or a bittersweet ending, I might be like, dude, I just need to watch something fun just to kind of restore myself. So I can totally see that aspect. I can definitely say if I think it definitely goes from one to another genre. I don't think I really ever see myself going from one to the same thing. If I watch like a very psychological type show, I know that I'm probably going to be burnt out on really getting into that mentality and want to watch something a little bit more easy to kind of digest.
I would go with whatever goes with my whims at the moment. But that's when I was kind of just going with whatever to watch. Not so much now, where if I'm going to watch something, I'm going to watch something that I need to watch. So take that for what it is. Yes, I did. Yeah.
Obligations. I can definitely say that. Blue Spark says, as for the second part, I'm certain you must have missed the shipping orders a great deal. Please proceed in a manner in which you are accustomed to by matching pairs of characters from each of the following shows. So it's a return of Blue Spark's Ship These Two Shows Extraordinaire, which is essentially, for those that are not aware, Blue Spark used to send us lists of two different shows and tell us to basically ship characters from the two shows, which in some cases kind of fit each other. And there's other cases where it's kind of like, here's this one fluffy show and this one murderous show. Please ship characters from the two of them, which often made Chris angry. But yeah, the first one he has is The Promised Neverland and School Live, which...
This is easy.
It's easy, even though you didn't watch one of them?
Give me the stupid evil nurses, and I will ship them with all the zombies.
The zombies aren't characters. I can say something, but that would be spoilers. Ship them with characters that we know shift or may have changed. I don't know. No, you can ship her with Toramaru, and Toramaru would kill him. Toramaru would take them all down because Toramaru would save the kids. Right? Toramaru was very, very protective. So there you go.
We'll go with that.
I don't know. Let's see. I could just see Kurumi being very, I guess they kind of match personalities that might clash a little bit, but Rei and Kurumi seem like they would be a good couple. I know that that's probably weird. Yuki and Emma need to be together because they're both kind of, you know, Genki, everybody can be saved kind of characters. So they would be perfect match for each other and they would save everybody together. Yeah, I don't really have anything for the teachers. I mean, I have stuff in the manga that I can get into, but I don't want to. So you have more of a selection in the manga than you do in the anime of School Live. So I guess that would be about all I can really do. Maybe you can stick. Yeah, and I guess to add to finish off Norman, I guess Norman would be. I don't know. I guess Yuri. I guess Norman would be good with Yuri. They're both kind of more grown up. It's a little more mature. So they would work out together. So there you go. Yeah, and then Isabella with Toramaru. There you go. Toramaru with Isabella and Sister Crone. There. Happy?
I want to put them with the zombies.
I gotcha. I just didn't have character name zombie to go with in the list. Yeah. So it's hard to work with.
Mm-hmm. All right. Zombies. I didn't say one zombie.
Zombies.
They can have an entire harem. Zombies.
All right. Next one Blue Spark has is Hinatsuri with Astro Lost in Space. I'm really not getting the connection here. I have no idea. We'll go with best characters. Starting out for me, I'll do Katori and Anzu. There you go. I ship the two best characters, girls.
I'm thinking that that's where I'm going too, right?
We'll put Nita with. Who would Nita be a good match with? I guess Ares. Let Ares bring some joy into Nita's life, even though Hina technically already has done that, but. There you go. No, Anzu would be perfect with Olga. Like, no, not like I'm talking like pre like, fixed Anzu. Like, Anzu back when she was, like, almost, you know, like, the biker gang girl, like, when she first showed up, would be perfect with Olga, but now she's just, I'll just stick with Katori. That works. Let's see. And then we'll stick... Shoot, no. I was trying to think of how I can make, like, the poor guy. Was it Yasan? Was the guy that took care of Anzu initially? Was that the homeless guy? Yeah. I was thinking of sticking in with one of the richer girls, but I already had Quitori taken care of, and I really didn't want to say the little sister. There you go. He can get with Charse, and Charse will give him plenty of money. He can like marry him into semi royalty, I guess. I don't know. I guess that's all I really have. I guess you could stick. I would do Luca and Hitomi. Hitomi needs happiness, and Luca's a good boy, so we'll do that as well. Anything else?
No, I think you got it pretty good.
All right. Let's move on before I get in trouble for matching young characters with older characters. I have not watched this in so long. I have no idea. I was wondering. I'm trying to remind myself the other day. I'm like, oh, Parasite Limited Edition is really cheap now. But I seem to remember I didn't like the second half, so I'm not sure if I want to buy that. I really did love the first core, though. And I did some cool stuff at the end of the second one. But yeah, Parasite and Konohana Katan, I don't see the connection here either.
I hate you.
I was trying to think of a really funny one, like Tsubaki with Migi. Nothing? I got nothing out of that.
Tsubaki with Migi.
Yeah. So the mama Tsubaki, the mama of the house, with Migi,
the hand? Right hand.
Yeah.
No.
There, that's what I was looking for. I just wanted a reaction.
Leave my girls alone.
Well, Satomi's a good girl. You can stick Satomi with Yuzu.
You can put Satomi with any of them. I don't mind. But everybody else needs to stay away.
That's really all I can really do, honestly. Like, I have no desire to match anything else out of Parasite besides Satomi. Like I said, other than Migi with Tsubaki, just because I wanted to get a laugh out of Chris. There's nothing else. There's no other. I guess the idea is to have to match them because it's funny and loves to torture us, but I don't even remember.
Wasn't there somebody out in the middle of the...
Kana was crazy.
In the middle of nowhere that was okay, but no.
Yeah, like some old lady that he was taking care of.
And that might have been the other show.
I think that was in the second core, though, so I don't want to be in this one.
That might be Ajin.
No, there was an old lady that took care of him out in the middle of the forest at some point, and then the crazy thing started tearing up the forest, and so he had to go destroy it, and he left her behind. But yeah, Ajin had the same thing, where he ran off to some kind of secluded place, and old lady took care of him. Then the dad found out that he was bad and tried to kill him. Anyways, let's move on from that one, because I haven't watched it in so long, and all I can think of is half the characters I don't really care too much or have enough personality to really connect anything with. Here's a good one. Cross Ange. He had Rewrited, which we never really watched the rest of it. Or Dark in the Black. So I went with Dark in the Black, even though, again, I don't really remember much of the characters. But Cross Ange is funny. So why not? So
we're taking characters that are already tortured and putting them together with more characters that are being tortured so that they can all torture themselves.
With characters that have to cook noodles in order to use their powers.
You're mean.
Characters that have to cook noodles to use their powers. Remember that one? Again, I don't remember. I mean, I know, like, Anjin and Psycho Chick. Then there's the guy that gets, obviously, situations that he shouldn't deserve to be a part of and falls in the crotches a lot. Who was that guy? What was his name?
He's up at the top. He should be at the top.
He should, but I don't see him.
I mean, technically, he didn't show up until
it was like the second core. Of the show. Yeah, it was like the second core. He pops up out of nowhere and lands in her crotch. So, And obviously he's not important enough to be... He's probably a supporting character. Is it Tusk?
Yeah, that sounds right.
Yeah, Tusk. Okay, so who can we give Tusk to? Amber? Wasn't that Hayes' girlfriend? Yeah, Amber. There you go. He can get with Amber. We'll give Tusk Amber. She was cool. I liked her.
She'll probably kill him because he fell into something.
Yes. Or she's going to be so young, he'll get arrested. that's in my spoilers, I guess. Who do you want to give Ange to? We'll give Ange to Hay. They would be a cool couple. Hay and Ange would actually be a cool couple. I think so. I mean, they're both kind of, especially later on, pretty kind of...
I think that would be a nice change for her.
Yen get with? There was another good girl in there, wasn't there?
Who was Yen?
That was the girl that he was kind of dragging around all the time. I'm trying to think of another good girl from Ange, and it's really hard to remember any of them being good girls.
The ringlets.
Ringlets?
Kind of got dragged into the entire situation, even though she didn't really deserve it. She kind of just made it work for her.
Oh, what about the sister? I freaking hate the sister.
Yeah, I like the sister.
The sister was evil. What are you talking about?
They messed
about?
Her up. That's all that happened.
Duh. They all got messed up.
Yeah, I know.
That's why it's Crossange, Chris. Everybody's sick. They're all sick in the end. There you go. Stick with Embryo. He's a good guy.
Kill him.
There you go.
No,
Embryo.
He doesn't deserve anybody.
Well, then...
He deserves...
So, who's a character in... Do you remember any of the bad guys in Dark and the Black?
No.
Remember any of them. Let's
None.
See. Oh, look, sticking with Huang, the main guy.
I was there trying to remember. I don't even remember the doll that apparently he's carrying around.
Oh, that's Gemini or whatever? Something Gemini? No. Oh, you mean the Yin girl, whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. I thought you were talking about the other doll that he's dragging around, the second one. Which was as equally as nothingness. Okay, I'm stretching here. Let's pop back here. Let's see. Domestic girlfriend and Scumswitch. I like that one. Oh man. There's something wrong with you. Very wrong with you. So Scumswitch and domestic girlfriend. I want to make the teacher's life a living hell. What was her name? What was the teacher? Was it Akane? Yeah, it was Akane. I want to make Akane's life a living hell. Who did I not really like from Domestic Girlfriend?
You didn't like the teacher there. Oh, no.
No. Well, yeah, I kind of didn't really like the older sister. Not that I hated her. Yeah, let's just do that. Yeah. Older sister, Hina... From Domestic Girlfriend, she can get with Akane, the other screwed-up teacher from Scumswitch. So they have a thing in common. Be miserable together. There you go.
Put the younger sister with the angel girl.
Rui with Noriko?
Yes.
Okay, I can go with that. They're like the only two savable characters. Even though Rui gets kind of a little bit weird towards the later parts. Let's just stick the two main protagonist idiots together. Let's stick...
There you go.
Let's stick Natsuo. No, not with the other main character. Let's stick with Mugi. Yeah, Mugi with Natsuo. There you go. Because they can just be miserable together as well. So, we're just matching the characters we like and then making everybody else miserable. Isn't that how it usually works? I think that's usually how it
works.
I
think so.
I
don't think there's much of anybody else that's worth even discussing.
Sane. Was it Miu? Was the one that, like, thought that she needed to do... Momo, that was her. Momo and Sane. That would be a good couple. I think they would be happy together. I like that pair. I really do like that pair. There's technically reasons why one of them would be totally into that, too. So there you go, Blue Spark. Couldn't even give us a challenge. Yeah, she technically did. There was some of them that was challenging. So I'm going to finish things off with an awesome dude's technically part of the question that we didn't answer when we did this entire podcast based on one of the questions. But an awesome dude in the question said, any onto the question, if you're not aware, there is some controversy going around in the release of Pokemon Sword and Shield. Don't worry, it's not a Pokemon question, particularly on the technical side regarding draw distance, culling, some glitches, and reuse 3D models and other elements that fans deem jeopardizing the experience and results is an inferior product. However, since user experience is completely subjective, and other whether or not the issue of just Netflix blown out of proportions or are technically technical faults, it does beg the question, where do fans of any medium draw the line? You specifically say fans, so I'm assuming you're talking about people that have been with something for a long time. What point did they finally draw that line? Not necessarily people that are outside of the fandom that go, well, I was thinking of finally picking up a Pokemon, but suddenly I don't want to, so you don't get my money because this thing looks bad. You weren't getting their money anyways. Nobody cares. But somebody that is invested in the product are technically the rebuys that they want. They want to keep that fandom, so they keep buying Pokemon because it sells millions every single time. People would argue the idea that at some point it feels like the creators are insulting them, and it feels like they're stepping away from fandom and looking for money. It's really hard to make the argument of that. I know there's a lot of controversy specifically about Pokemon where they think that they are possibly don't have enough control over it, that they don't feel like they're making enough money off it. That's why they're looking to make other games. But I don't really feel that's the case. It's a moneymaker always. I know they always are looking to make, unless there's something I'm not aware of where they're not making a good proportion of the money that they sell it. I doubt that. I'm sure they're making plenty of profits. But yeah, I think when it gets to the point where the individual fan feels like they're being insulted, where they feel like the product is no longer fun for them, I guess is where it's going to come from. And I think no matter what, you're going to find faults with things. Nothing's going to be perfect. But I think the point in which you no longer find it fun, there's no reason why you shouldn't step away from it. Yeah?
Yeah, yeah, I agree.
All right, I guess that's it for now. I know it's a little bit shorter than usual, probably about 20 minutes or so shorter than our usual discussional podcast, but like I said, we're kind of starting a little bit later than usual and we're kind of short on time, but I hope either way that it's enjoyable for you guys. Thanks as usual for the questions and Awesome Guy and Blue Spark, and we thank you all for listening. Hopefully here soon we can get to the other, we have about 3 more questions available. Keep sending in, definitely, as usual, and again, as usual, check out docuspirit.com. We can go for all of our anime new and old. Great community forum links at the top, social media links on the right side, all that good stuff, and we thank you all for listening and we hope you all take care.
Oos!
がないのは時代のせいにしてしまえばいい。どこにもいい。